critical race theory, one of the things certainly is going back to slavery, right? One of their arguments is that the church in that day, when slavery was still going on in America, fully supported it. And that's a true statement. Some of the churches did, right? Not all the churches, but a large portion, certainly in the South, supported slavery and had their arguments for slavery. And then there were plenty of churches that certainly opposed it. And it's my opinion that the eventual abolishment of slavery was certainly a movement that started within the church. So we go to Scripture, and so we ask this question: does the Bible condemn slavery? And if you say yes, you have to give me a verse.
I know it. I recognize areas where it speaks of how to live if you are a slave.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's where you're at, it's right or wrong.
No, I mean, does the Bible anywhere, does God in His Word anywhere say that slavery is wrong? Is it in the Ten Commandments, you shall not have slaves? No.
Not directly the word. Commanded to
love our fellow man. Right? Okay. Yeah. So there's no direct thing that says slavery is wrong, right? The Bible doesn't directly condemn slavery. Certainly it sets out within, like in the New Testament, we certainly see that thought of how we should treat other human beings, and certainly in the Old Testament as well. And so, we'll just address it a little bit and talk about kind of the different forms and thoughts. And certainly, slavery in the Old Testament is different than what was going on in the New Testament, right? Because the Old Testament really centers around Israel. I mean, everything that's dealing with slavery that's talked about in the Old Testament, a lot of it's dealing, as far as laws, dealing with Israel. So the Old Testament, so somebody want to look up Leviticus 25:39. Okay, can you read that for me? Okay. So, one of the ways that someone could become a slave was to sell themselves into slavery, right? If they were poor, without means, in debt. And certainly we see that in the law concerning Israel, there's all these laws that talk about this is how you should treat a slave, this is how you shouldn't treat a slave. Within Israel, Jews, they were guaranteed their freedom on the year of Jubilee, right? So every 50 years, if you were a slave, you were set free. So there was that going on. And so certainly within that, we see, somebody owed somebody a bunch of money and couldn't pay, they would eventually be sold into slavery, is what was going to happen. And that was kind of compulsory of their own choice. And we see there set out, God says, right, they are your servant for sure, but to treat them humanely and not like you would treat, like the Gentiles treat slaves for sure. And then somebody want to read verses 44 through 46 of that same chapter.
I got it.
Okay.
As for your male and female slaves whom you may have, you may acquire male and female slaves from the pagan nations that are around you. Then too, it is out of the sons of the sojourners who live as aliens among you that they may gain acquisition, and out of their families who are with you whom they will have produced in your land, they also may become your possession. You may even bequeath them to your sons after you to receive as a possession. You can use them as permanent slaves. But in respect to your countrymen, the sons of Israel, you shall not rule with severity over one another.
Okay. All right. So, kind of what was the other way that someone could become a slave? It's talking about the nations around them. So as they were, I believe that in context, as they were entering the land.
Through war.
Through war, right? Conquest. That was the other main way, really, that, and that's what it's talking about, is that conquest of the land and subduing the nations that were in the land, the pagan nations. So, right, so we, Scripture talks about those two things concerning certainly Israel, right? I mean, that's all in the context of Israel. So what are some examples, as you think of the Old Testament, just some examples of slaves?
Joseph,
right? Great example. Came sold into slavery, kidnapped, right? Kidnapped by his own, I mean, sold by his own family into slavery, and went to Egypt, and eventually rose to great wealth and power within Egypt. Okay, what other examples?
Maybe the Gibeonites.
Okay, I got that one down too, because I was just reading that my reading this week. Right, the Gibeonites. Because they signed a treaty, or tricked Joshua into signing a treaty. I love that passage where it said, but they didn't, you know, talk to the Lord about what was going on. So they just were like, oh yeah, we'll sign a peace treaty. And so when Joshua found out they were actually locals, he enslaved them, right? That's what he did. He enslaved them. He said, you'll be woodcutters and haulers of water, is what natural words use there. Okay. What else?
God wanted to put Israel as slaves.
Okay. Yeah. But that's kind of interesting, because it's not like they were dispersed. They were still stayed, right? They still kept their national identity and still lived within the ethnic group, right? And so I don't know how that all worked. I know they were in bondage, but yeah, I don't know if they had their own houses and then went and worked wherever, but yeah. Okay.
But among all the slaves, it really kind of rings at the end of verse 46. You will not rule with severity.
Okay, yeah.
So if you read up past that, you know, kind of like we would treat them like our own sons. We would be kind to them and consider them in our wills, as to say.
Right. There's nowhere in Scripture that talks about how one person is less human than another person.
Right.
Never says that, ever. Which is part of the issue of the slavery in America, is this thought that the Africans were less than human. There was that, I mean, that was part of the whole thing going on. So, yeah. Okay. Certainly the heap. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if he was a slave, but like Abraham's, like Eliezer, was he a slave or was he just a high?
Probably guy? In some shape or form, but yeah, certainly a very honored steward. I mean, but often stewards were slaves, but slaves of great position. Yeah. Certainly the Hebrew people. Right, when they went to Egypt, eventually were put into slavery and freed. I mean, God uses that a lot. You were slaves in Egypt, so you should be nice to people. You know, you guys were under that. You knew what that was like, and I freed you out of that. The other one I thought of was Naaman's slave, right? The Assyrian who, well, actually the enemy of Israel, and he had a slave girl that was from Israel, and she told him about Elisha, how he could be healed from his leprosy. So certainly we have that story. Right, there's a lot, because throughout history there's always been slavery. Right, there always has been, always will be. I don't agree with it. I'm not saying that it should be practiced, but understand that is part of living in this fallen world, and it's still going on today. Right, slavery is still huge today. We just don't talk about it. We don't see it, but people are still being sold as slaves, and there's a huge market for that, even in our own country. So, it's still going on. So that brings us then to the New Testament. New Testament. Right, so we see a lot of the Christians, right? The early Christians, especially Gentile Christians, were slaves, right? They were within slavery. We think of what was going on at that time. Rome, right? Rome ruled. The Roman economy was built on slavery, mostly acquired in conquest of other nations. It's how they subdued nations. So there was a lot of people within that, and we don't see Paul or really any of the other apostles condemning it, but certainly encouraging the brothers in Christ and in where they were at and what was going on in their lives, to have a good attitude, to treat each other humanely. Let's see what I got here. So certainly Paul uses it at least a lot, quite a bit, as an illustration of just the human condition, because it was a real life illustration that was going on in Paul's day, that everyone recognized and dealt with. Either they were a master or they were a slave. And so Paul used it quite a bit. Again, he wasn't promoting it. He wasn't saying you should have slaves. He wasn't doing any of that. He's just saying, this is what we have, and I want to use this for some spiritual illustration. So turn to Romans 6. Okay, and I'll read that. Romans 6:6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, but he who has died has been freed from sin. How now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. That the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So Paul certainly uses quite a few illustrations there, right? He uses crucifixion as an illustration, but he also uses slavery. And so our condition is that we are slaves to
sin,
right? We're slaves to sin. We are enslaved by it. It controls us. And so he's saying, now understand who you are in Christ, and now you're slaves of righteousness, you're slaves to God, you're slaves to Jesus Christ, and so recognize that. And so understanding that we are all a slave of something or someone. We are. When we get down to it, we all are controlled because we are created beings. We didn't evolve. We didn't just come to be. God created us for his glory. And so we can either allow ourselves to be controlled by sin, or we can allow ourselves to be controlled by Christ. So one or the other. And that's the illustration, because that certainly was in their day something that everyone dealt with. Let's see what else I got. Matthew 20. Somebody want to read that? Matthew 20, 25, 28. Okay, go ahead.
Among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many.
Okay. So Christ uses that there, thought of being a slave. Whenever you see the word servant, you can put the word slave in there because it's the same Greek word. Depends on which way the translators want to go with it, but that thought is of a slave, and so. In the context, the disciples were arguing about who's the greatest. So, what did Jesus say?
You'll become a servant.
Become a slave, right? So, if you want to be great, if you want to be a leader, you lead through submission. You lead through this thought of being a slave, of being under the control of someone else's. Whatever one someone else wants. So that thought of that servant leadership, and Christ used that thought of being a slave, and really saying that he himself came as a slave, right? I mean, yeah, he was a free man, but he was still, this thought of his will was enslaved to the will, certainly the will of the Father, in order to free us from sin. Next one I got, somebody want to read 1 Corinthians 7.
Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
Okay. Yeah, so talking about certainly our will, and encouraging those who were in slavery didn't make them less, right? Didn't make them less of a Christian. Their social status, where they were at economically, or where they were at, either slave or master, in Christ, they were equal. And so he encourages them, right? If you're a slave, you're free in Christ. You have this liberty, this freedom in Christ. If you're a free man, you're a slave, right? Understand, your will is now controlled by Christ. So he takes both of those roles, both those thoughts, and tries to encourage both of them in Christ. Again, we don't see Paul condemning slavery, but he certainly says, if you can be free, I'd be free. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. If you're a slave and you can buy your freedom, do it. Under Roman, authority, yeah, they didn't treat their slaves great, but it was noted that some slaves did become very, very powerful within the Roman Empire. That was possible. But it was also possible to eventually be able to earn your freedom and to buy your freedom. So that was always there. And so again, we see this illustration. And then chapter 12, 13. Okay, yeah. So again, Paul encouraging us that it doesn't matter what your status is in Christ, we are equal. Whether you're a slave or whether you're free, we are certainly equal in Christ. And so Paul certainly promoted that thought. So in the New Testament, we certainly have the illustration of a runaway slave, right? Onesimus, who ran away from Philemon, became a Christian under Paul's ministry, and so Paul had him then return to his master. So turn to Philemon, look at verse 16. And this is Paul's encouragement to Philemon. So right before Hebrews. If you blink, you miss it, right? I'll start in verse 15. Philemon, verse 15, it says, "For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord." So the encouragement there was to treat Onesimus, yes, he ran away, and by Roman law, he should be crucified. Right? That was the law. Slaves that ran away were to be crucified. And so he's like, by every right, you could do that, but he's now your brother, right? He's in Christ. I know your faith. I know who you are. And so now receive him. And then later on, Paul says, if he's done anything wrong, I'll pay for it, right? If he owes you money or anything, any way that you've been wronged or harmed and you want compensation, I'll pay for it. And so I think Paul encouraging that equality certainly within Christ and the reconciliation of the relationship there as brothers in Christ. So we see that, right? And certainly we see in the New Testament that was the day and age that they lived in. This was a huge thing for them. Again, we don't see Paul just outright or any other New Testament writer outright condemning slavery, but certainly trying to help them live in the day and age they were living in and live through that. But the scriptures do prohibit kidnapping, right? Or man-stealing, however you want to put that. So look at Exodus. Exodus 21. And so I just put this up here because American slavery was based in man-stealing, kidnapping, right? That's really the root of it. This is condemned in Scripture. Very strongly condemned. And the person who committed it was capital punishment. You were to be killed if you kidnapped somebody and sold them into slavery. You could be killed. Right? You were supposed to be killed for doing that. That was capital crime. Exodus 21:16. And so certainly as we think of the slavery that developed in our country, there were those that certainly had sold themselves. We didn't use the word slavery, but as servants, right? In order to afford to be able to come to America, they sold themselves into servanthood for a time. That was very common. And so that was going on. But the slavery with those that were coming from Africa was based in the sin of kidnapping. Right, and so to me, the whole basis of the whole thing, there's no support at all in it, in scripture-wise. I think it's condemned, and anyone who would try to justify it and say it was okay what was going on was ignoring how this was developing for sure. Does somebody want to read Exodus 21:16? Okay.
And he who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in possession, shall surely be put to death.
Okay, yeah. So if you kidnap somebody, you try to sell them, or if you still have them, they shall be put to death. So Scripture does talk about that. And so slavery of the blacks, right, of those from Africa, they were kidnapped, many of them by other Africans. Right? I mean, that's what was going on. There were other tribes kidnapping others and selling them into slavery. And it was certainly an awful practice, terrible practice. And then they were imported into America as slaves. And so these weren't people that were being conquered. These weren't people that had no means. And so they had, of their own free will, sold themselves into slavery. They were just being kidnapped and taken into slavery. And right, terrible. I don't see how that could be justified at all. And so some of the stuff that's going on, right, we're still dealing with the repercussions of that because it was a very wicked practice. And slavery, itself, certainly, you know, trying to control someone else's free will, to me, is a wicked practice. But this, to me, is another level of it. And certainly, when we look at our country and how our country developed early on, this was going on. As we gained our independence, it wasn't an issue that could be dealt with at that moment, right? I mean, we talked about freedom and all of that, and we wanted freedom for ourselves and liberty from England. But we were split. But, I mean, there's no way we would have been able to win a war if that issue was dealt with at that time. And it was dealt with later. We fought a whole civil war over the whole issue. That was part of it. Not the complete issue that the Civil War was fought over, but eventually became the main issue. I don't know what the death toll in the Civil War was, but I mean, everybody keeps talking about reparations, but I think the blood of the Civil War was playing reparations in that time. But then turn to Deuteronomy 24:7. Just kind of the same as what we saw in Exodus. Deuteronomy 24:7 says, if a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then that kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. So again, that thought of one who kidnaps. And then Deuteronomy, staying in 24, verse 15, is it 24? No. Sorry, that's not the verse I wanted. Oh, sorry. Yeah, chapter 23, verse 15. 23:15 says, you shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master. He may dwell with you in your midst in the place which he chooses within one of your gates where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. So certainly, the Old Testament gave place for one who had escaped the bondage of slavery, probably from another nation, and had come to Israel seeking freedom. Hey, it says here, don't send him back. He's allowed to live among you guys. So certainly, it gave right that there, which I find interesting. So certainly, we have this thought of slavery. And it's unfortunate there were many churches that supported it. And so why do you think they did that?
The economy.
Okay. It's the economy, right? Yeah.
Church is
going
to fold.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, because that's what was going on. It was accepted by society, and so they were trying to justify it. So, how is that a warning to us?
where in day-to-day time we justify any sin.
Right? Yeah. When we start trying to justify whatever everyone else is doing,
yeah,
we're in trouble, right?
Societal norms push in on the church and we start accepting that.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
So back 200 plus years, it was slavery. Today, it's a lot of other things. And we see churches trying to justify some of the stuff that's going on in our society today. And it's not right, right? We're told to build our lives on the Word of God. That's the rock we stand on. And so when we try to justify sin, it certainly, we're going to have problems, right? It doesn't work, and that's not what God wants, for sure. So, yes, there were churches, many churches that support slavery, wrongly, I believe wrongly. But to me, it's not about condemning them, it's about, what is it that the church is supporting today? What is it that we are allowing and we know is wrong, but we are trying to justify in our society today? And looking at that and considering it, and looking at ourselves. So last of all, look at Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And so often Paul uses this in his introduction and his greetings to the churches. He uses this word bondservants, or really you could put bond slaves, which is a slave by choice. It is one who has submitted their will to another, to a master, and has chosen the life of slavery. And bowed their will to another of their own free choice. And so Paul used that of a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And so certainly, I think that's the illustration we want to take out of that, and that thought of who are we serving and who's our master? Because we all serve a master. One way or another, we serve a master. And recognizing who that master is. So I just wanted to cover that thought. Slavery is certainly well and alive. It's going on throughout the world. It's not a good thing, right? We want people to be free. But more than that, we want people to be spiritually free, right? We want people to know Jesus Christ and have that freedom. And certainly want them to have political freedom. We want them to have, freedom from slavery. But as Paul understood, right, that freedom in Christ was far more important. And so that's what he focused his work on, his life on. And he preached the gospel to whoever. The master, the slave, it didn't matter. He was preaching the gospel to all of them and then telling them, you guys are now brothers. You guys are now equal. Now act like it. And that's how Paul dealt with that. Any other thoughts?
Well, without Jesus Christ, we're a slave to sin.
Okay, yeah.
And our debt has been paid when Christ hung on the cross and said it was finished. I just can't understand why even so many Christians, like through this last COVID thing, why they can say they could walk away from the church and go home and listen to it and not have the fellowship with others. There's really not much encouragement in the novel and radio giving you encouragement. I just struggle with that many days. Why did they go, well, you have the virus in the building or whatever. There's so many silly, stupid responses to it. But to me, I have to think of many times during the day, my debt is paid.
Amen.
And if you don't accept that payment,
So yeah, we can choose to live boldly or we can choose to live in fear.
I continue to read when we were back in Romans 6. It explains kind of what you just ended with, that we are a slave either way. We can be a slave to sin or a slave to obedience in Christ. But somehow we have to follow and be a servant on one side or the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And, one side does have leads to sanctification, relationship with Christ. One leads to no relationship.
Yeah.
Alone, dead.
Yeah.
No reward, nothing.
All right, let's go to prayer.